Very good. We're on Daf Chaf Aleph. New Perek. Okay, so it says Hamavir Te'inim B'Chatzera L'Ktos. There's a lot of footnotes here, and it can get very complicated if you start following all the lumdas, but we'll try to give a push-up shot over here. So a person is taking figs through his courtyard, which is not the same as bias. Apparently, the chatzar is not. I mean, I thought I remember there was machlokes Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Anyway, it says over here in the Mishnah, the chatzero is on his way to dry them. Obviously, since he's on his way to dry them, they are not nigmar malachdom because it won't be until they're dried. But the children and his household, which apparently other members of his household, they say is his wife, I think. Is that what it says? Yeah, two, his wife. Do you ever refer to B'nai Beso as your wife? Never. Members of my household. Where do you see that in the Pasuk?
I see it in Yuma.
Oh. Kippur Badova Ad Beso. It says it in the Pasuk. Very good. So they can eat in their potter because that achilas aray. Hapolim she'imo. What about the laborers? So the rule is like this. When there's no obligation for them to get food as a part of the contract, then what does it say?
Then they're allowed to eat.
Then they can eat, yeah. Avalam yesh lahem alav mazonis, but if they have a claim, harei elo yochlem, then they cannot eat the figs. Now, just remember what we said last parak. Last parak we said just the opposite. We said that if a worker has a right to the payros, then he can eat it without taking a maestros because the Torah gives it to him kinashcha. He could eat it at a will, right? He doesn't have to take maestros. Here we're doing the opposite. Why? These polim are not polim who have a right min ha-Torah to eat anything. So, for example, if I would hire a worker to
paint.
What?
To paint in your house.
To paint, yeah. Well, I want to use agriculture. So the agriculture would be to hoe underneath the fig tree, for example. So he's not working with fruit, but he is working in the vicinity. So if I made up with him a manas, he should be able to eat. So that is what, that's like a mechira, okay? That's what it says on it. So if they have the Yeshalem Mazonis, if they have an obligation, if he has an obligation to give them food because of the almanas, so it becomes like a mechira. A mechira is kaveya, right? And therefore, it's harelo lo yechel, okay?
What about the owner himself?
The Gemara is going to ask the kasha about the owner himself. That's the first piece of the Gemara we're going to learn in just a second.
The mechira would be to the laborers.
To the laborers, correct. Right. Now, notice, we'll just point out that it says that if they don't have mazonos, then it's probably oichlin uptorn, just like b'nei bias, right? It's right. It doesn't read so smoothly, but the way you read the Mishnah, right? But if they say oichlin uptorn, v'ha'parlanimai b'sman shein lahem mazonos, right? The Gemara is adding the polem to the previous group if there's, right, no mazonos.
What does the mazonos accomplish?
It makes it a mechira. Okay?
It's
now, the next statement is very similar. Hamoitzi polem l'sada. Now, this time it's not a chotzer, it's a sada. A sada b'chlal has no din of kvias from Isis. That's for sure. No machlokas at all about that, right? So again, there's manchein lahem mazonos. There's no mazonos. They eat in their potter. Yesh lahem alav mazonos. If they do have a deal, then here it specifies a certain way you can eat it. Oichlan achas achas min hateino. They can have one at a time.
From the tree.
From the tree. Because in the previous parak, we said by mechira, you could eat one at a time. Question, how come over here we're talking about one at a time? And the previous statement, the Mishnah, we didn't mention one at a time. We said they can't eat at all if it's a mechira. Or if they could eat, then when it's not a mechira, they're allowed to eat whatever they wanted. It didn't say anything about one.
The change was the location.
So location changed, right? But is that's exactly the answer they say. But how does that work exactly? It's not so pashut. So what he says is, the Mepharshim on the bottom say that the pshat is that if you have both, you have Hatzera, and you have a type of Mechira, so since you have both, you have like a double kvias, the Makom and the deal, that creates such a kvias that you can't even eat Achas Achas. I think that's what he says. I mean, I don't remember exactly where it says it. It says over here, let's see. It's in 6. Yeah, go to the bottom. So on page 21A1, the bottom, the three paragraphs, the third paragraph down of footnote 6. Right? I think that's the one. Yeah. The Mishnah above taught that when one buys figs, a tithing obligation is not established, according to Rabbi Huda, if the buyer receives a fig at a time. Only if he gives him two or more figs, right? The Mishnah below teaches the same rule regarding workers who are eating in the field. Here, however, it does not make this distinction. It thus implies, in our case, when they're eating in the courtyard, maestros must be taken, even if they're eating one fig at a time. So they say, many commentaries say, and it goes to the next page, the stringency is to the fact that the fig's entry into the courtyard is a second factor besides the purchase that can establish a tithing obligation. Okay? So that's what I told you just a second ago. I just wanted to show it to you in writing. Okay. So they can eat one at a time from the fig tree. Of a lomen asal, they can't eat from the basket. Lomen ha kupa, not from a box. Lomen ha muksa, not from a pile of figs, because any of these three indicate a gemnigra malachto, they wouldn't be able to eat single figs, right? Yeah. Next, hasoich rasapol lasasim abzaisim. If you hire a worker to work with olives, he says, on the condition that I may eat the olives, he can eat one at a time. He's potter, and tzirif is chayiv. Again, because he's making this worker is not the type of worker who is ra'i to take any food min ha-tayra, obviously. Again, if he has a right to food, then he never has to take maestros. Therefore, we have to say it's the type of a worker that is, right? And footnote 12, he says it explicitly. As was explained in the previous case, the Mishnah is not referring to a labor for which the Torah grants eating privileges. So he says it much better. Okay? So, he can eat them singly if it's a purchase. All right? Next, on Nachash B'Tzolim. I mean, this is basically the same halacha over again. So what about onions? To weed a patch of onions. So,
what's the problem with this?
Let's see. The point here, I think the shot is,
the Torah doesn't
give this guy the ability to eat. You only get a right to eat if you're working with something which is roi la'achila. You're not working with, you're weeding. So you're working with the weeds. You're not working with the onions. You're helping the weeds grow.
You have
That does not grant you a right to eat onions on the job. It's an interesting rule. You wouldn't necessarily think of this on your own. I didn't think of it. He even has uprooting stunted onion bulbs, which will be taking, you know, minerals, nutrition from the surrounding good, healthy bulbs. Even taking those out also doesn't give you a right to eat because you're not working with the real stuff. Okay? So there again, you have the same thing. So what do you do?
With the same thing, home, let's say you're working with grapes on a vine, and there's a bunch of crushed grapes on the vine, and you go, you know.
Is that why you were hired? If you were hired to remove the crushed grapes from the vine, you wouldn't have a ability. It would be the same thing. Yeah.
And nothing to do with the title of the labor.
Yeah. So over here, Makar tame ola, vehicle. He can pluck one leaf at a time and eat it without taking off maceris. That would be considered achilas arai, and we consider one at a time. The mtsireif, if you combine two or more leaves, chayiv, then you're chayiv, right? The leaves that the worker eats are considered purchased, since his right to them derives from the terms of his contract. Same idea. It's literally the same basic halacha. Okay, so if you had to summarize that Mishnah that we just read, I would just summarize it very simply. When something is contractual, then it is mechira, and then based on the location, you could eat, most places you'd be able to eat it one at a time, except it was the chotzer, then not. That's basically the Mishnah. I mean, it's a pretty simple rule. Now let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask the first question that you asked, and I'm a base. I follow from base. So who ats my mausheyachal? What about the owner himself? What halacha does he have? Is he like the poalim, or is he like Bnei Beiso? Right? Bnei Beiso were able to eat.
Because he does both.
He's kind of like, you know. He's part of the family. He's also working. He's a worker as well. Yeah. So we have, of course, a machlokas. Rav says it's Osir. Rav who owes Osir locha, he cannot. And Ula Rabbi Shmuel Bereshit Rabbi Lazar, he says who mutar locha. So we have a machlokas. Can the owner eat or not? Okay. So now the Gemara is going to give some suggestions as what the machlokas is tali in. So first the Gemara tries to say that it's tali in the famous machlokas we had before between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon. That is to say what? Rabbi Meir holds that what? That a mekach establishes a kvius even if it's a davar shaloi nigmar or malachto. That's Rav Meir shita. So that's Rav Ker Meir. He holds like, because again, this is talking about it's loy nigmar malachto because it's going liktsos. It's going to be dried out in the roof. So it's no nigmar malachto. They're grabbing one of these figs to eat. So as far as they're concerned, the children, it's nigmar malachto, but they don't determine the gemara malacha. We go basar rove of the produce. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, even though for them it's nigmar malachto because they're eating it, it doesn't matter because since rove of the produce is going up to the roof to dry out, so we go basar rove. Okay. So Rav Kerbeyer, Rav who holds that the owner cannot, he holds that just like a mayor holds a purchase, establishes a tithing obligation even for unprocessed produce. Similarly, entry into a courtyard, right, a chotzer, will also create a kvias. Just like he's machmer for mekach, so too he's machmer for chotzer. That's basically what it says here. Okay, Riblas Grabbana, they hold what? That mekach does not establish a tithing obligation. So the same way mekach does not establish kvias, so too, chotzer does not establish kvias. That's the first attempt. So Rav Kerbeyer, so the Gemara says, does that make sense? Iker Meir, I feel one of them, based on your sort. According to our mayor, why are the children allowed to eat in the chotzer? If according to our mayor, it's objectively already been nikba by virtue of the fact that it's in the chotzer. By virtue of the fact that it's in the chotzer, that should itself create kvias, right? Let me just shut that noise off. That was my reminder to remember to count Sfira. Okay?
It's a little early.
It's a little early to remind me that. Anyway, last night was 16. Okay, so the Gemara's question is a strong question, right? So therefore, the Gemara changes it. Okay, so it's not totally in Meir and the Rabbanan. Let's try a different set of Tanoim. And it's going to be a little difficult to see how the Gemara's second attempt doesn't even answer the question that we just presented, and yet it tries to use it. Let's just see it inside. El Rav Karebi. Rav holds like Rebbe, and Rav Lazar holds like Rabbanan. What are these Rebbe Rabbanan thing? So now we're going to quote what the Machlokas is. Here's Rebbe's Shita. Ein Eichlan al Hamukza. Rebbe has the following rule. If you are going to eat something, Derech Arai, you can only do it on location where if someone sees you eating a fig, right? I see you eating a fig. I think, what are you eating a fig for? You didn't take Trumas of Maestros. Terah says, oh, I need to see why you're eating it, because you're standing right next to the figs, which are in the midst of drying out. I see it's obvious it's lo nigmar malachto, so you can go ahead, Taka, and eat your fig. But if I saw you eating the fig downstairs or in the courtyard, what would I think? I think, well, look at that. He's eating figs, which were nigmaro malachtom. So there's a maris ayin here. So this is what Rebbe says. Ein oichlan al hamukza, ela al makomo. You can only eat stuff which is set out to dry if you're there on location.
Aren't we supposed to be down the kav's kos?
No.
We are, we are supposed to down the kav's kos. But Marasayan presupposes that people are going to see you doing something which looks like it's something which is wrong. So, I mean, let's take your case of the classic case of Marasayan Tzvi. You have your laundry, your wet laundry is hanging on the line, drying out on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. Because someone's going to see wet laundry hanging on the lawn, the line. They're going to say, you washed it on Shabbos.
Oh, I thought you forgot it.
It's still dripping.
Very good. It's Don Lakov's chos.
Yeah.
No. It's wrong. It's what we're seeing is wrong. You're right. In theory, everyone should give them the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, you could. I mean, but theoretically, the person could have taken off Jerusalem Isis.
Yes. Yes. I guess that whole thing.
The idea of Marasayan is on the Gavra. The idea of giving the benefit of doubt is on the observer. It's two different people that are talking about.
You're saying that the Balabas has his obligation to be. What Shamsi is referring to the Gemara in the Yevamos, where it says, "V'hi yisem mekiyim me Hashem u'mi Yisrael." That you have to do whatever you can to show, to do, and the Gemara is talking about over there, Hanechel al Hashivcha. If someone was choshed that they had relations with a Goya, and then she converted to Judaism, and I marry her. Now, I'm not allowed to marry her, even if I didn't have relations with her before, because by my marrying her, I'll confirm the previous rumors that I was having an affair with her when she was a Goya. And the Gemara quotes that pasuk, "V'yisim the kiyam me'ashem me'Yisrael." You have to act in a way in which it's absolutely
no questions
about it, right? This is very, very important halachas. So what Shamsi says like this: let's down Lakav's course and assume that. So that's two different things. Of course, if I would see you marry her, I should down your Lakav's course.
In that case, there's rumors, right?
Okay, but you, what Shamsi's saying is that you as the person have to act in a way which is absolutely clean. In other words, you have an obligation to go beyond the letter of the law to be to make sure that people shouldn't doubt you. Now that, I think it's a good chiluk, no?
Yeah, but you find
he's
that
over here, so he should have to put up a sign in the chutzah that says, "Yes, I took Jerusalem Isis."
Okay, all right.
That's what Marasayan is.
Marasayan is an interesting thing. By the way, you know, the question of whether I can go into McDonald's and buy a cup of Coke, a glass of Coke, right? That's the famous Shiloh. Everybody knows that Shiloh, right? So, what's the Shiloh? Donald counts, of course. He wants to buy a cup. He wants to buy a Coke. That's why he walked into McDonald's. Why else would he buy a cup of Coke, right? Why else would he go into McDonald's? So those who say it's Osir Holtz, there's Maris Ayin. Those who say it's Mutra say there's no Maris Ayin after the Chasimus HaTalmud, other than what Chazal told us, there is Maris Ayin. You can't make up Maris Ayin. That's a big shaila in Paiskim, whether you can make up a new Maris Ayin.
Yeah.
That's a fair in halacha, yeah. You have to have the almond milk. You have to have the almonds floating on the top of the milk so that it's obvious that it is. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so the Gemara tries to assume. So let's say Rav holds like Rebbe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you can't eat in the chutzner because they'll be chushing him. Direi Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, Rabbi Yaakov Eidi you can eat whether it's drying area or not. So he said, let's look at the English now. Now, Amish is discussing figs which can be eaten only on account of the drying area that are not in the drying area, but only in a courtyard, right? They're going up to the drying area. So Rav, who forbids the owner from eating the figs, he's going according to Rebbe. Reb Lazar, who permits him, is going according to the rabbis. Okay? So that's what we have them. I'm talking about. So Frank the Gemara, when it comes to caribs, this is the rule with caribs, by the way, right? So caribs, while they're moist, are only royal behema, and when they're dried out, they're only royal adam. Okay, when they're grown, they're originally grown for adam. But anyway, as long as you haven't put them on the top of the roof at the conclusion of the drying, you can take some down for your animal to eat, and you're exempt. Why should we allow to do this? In other words, he's quoting a Mishnah, Bryce. What is this? A Tzninon. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah below 26b. Okay, so there's a Mishnah that says that you can go up, take the carob that's dry, and give it to your animal. So why should that be allowed? Why don't you say that just like you can't eat it unless you're over there on the Makomo, Makom HaMoksa, so too, you can't feed the animal. And here you're feeding the animal downstairs, right? So Frank the Gemara, so Zok the Gemara, Amalei lo tasivenim charuvin, charuvin Michael b'hemahim. If you have caribs that are not dried out, that is by definition animal food. People can see by the way you're feeding it that it's not quite. You know, it's not quite ready for people, and therefore they know it's not Nigma Malachta. So, in other words, it's basically a Balabatash answer. There's no Marasai in here, okay? That's the simple bottom line, okay? I just lost one of my online guys. Oh, I guess I didn't do a good job. I'll die to the Rav. According to Rav, what? That the owner himself may not eat the figs in the courtyard? Ma bain hu, ma bain bunov. In other words, we're coming back to the original question, right? The question we had was, if you hold that the owner is usher, why is the kid's mutter? That was the question we had. So we didn't answer that question.
Not yet.
Right? Not yet. So the answer is now. Who aideshu tolim b'muktzah usher, banav aideshehin tolim b'muktzah amtarim. The difference is very simple. Who determines whether it's going to stay on the roof or when you have food, you have figs? Who determines whether they're going to remain in the fresh state, nice and moist, ready for the Rosh Hashanah table, you know, to eat? It should be moto keteino. What's the language? I forgot what it was. That it should have a sweet ear like a fig. So that's a nice, moist fig. Or who decides it's going to go up on the roof to dry out, to be in those, you know, circle things that you are not edible, that you give out for Shalom bonus, right? Who determines that? That's the owner makes that determination. The kids don't have a say in that. So therefore, okay, that's the yesod of the answer. So how does that answer the question? So 16.
So
So he's going to be different.
So he decides whether they're processed, whether they're considered nigmar malakto or lo nigmar malakto, based on his decision. That's basically what it's saying here. Whether the figs are classified as nigmar or not nigmar depends on the owner's intent to dry them. His original intent was to dry them. If he was to reconsider and decide not to dry it, then all the figs would immediately be considered processed. Since they've entered the courtyard, they would be forbidden even for casual consumption before taking off the maisers. Since he has that ability to reconsider, people, when they see him snacking, might conclude he has indeed reconsidered. In other words, the Gemara is saying why there's a marasayin for the owner and there's no marasayin for the kids. This is basically the difference. Okay? So the Gemara then says, Nicha Bonov. We understand his children. B'nei Beis. So what about his wife? What about his wife? The Gemara fears ice. What's the Gemara's kasha? Ein lo olav mizonos. The Gemara is comparing the obligation for a husband to supply his wife mizonos to the obligation that the person had to the poel. Remember, we said that if he had an obligation of mizonos to the poel, then it would blight like mechira. That's what we said. So the Gemara wants to make a comparison. Why is his wife different than the poel? Since you have an obligation to give your wife mizonos, let it be like mechira and let that make it like a kvius and make it usher for her to take.
It's a different mechanism.
So Shamsi has the answer. It's a different mechanism. What do you mean it's a different mechanism? What's the difference? Is it really a difference? Isn't it the Tanaik Suba? Isn't it Tanaik Suba? It's a contractual obligation, just like you have a contractual obligation to feed your pilum.
One has many, many more zeros at the end.
Doesn't matter.
Zeros?
Zeros?
No, it's not a commitment. It's a different level of commitment.
I don't think you're. I think you're thinking emotionally and not logically. Forget about the emotions, okay? Let's treat your wife like she's a worker. Treat your wife like she's just a common, ordinary worker.
Yeah.
She's making the bed, she's cooking, she's whatever. Okay? That's the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara's going to give a couple of answers tomorrow's daf. If you want, we can just stop here, and we'll go to Myrav, and we'll see the answers tomorrow. But basically, we'll just say the first answer. On Chav Beis, the top line is Kamandi Omar, Eim is Onis Isha Dra Torah, that there is no obligation min HaTorah, it's an obligation min Rabbanon, and since it's only Rabbanon, so it doesn't vibe like Mechira. Okay, but we're going to see.
It's a less of
a Mechira. It's less of a Mechira. It's not Kaveh. Okay, we'll stop here.